Okay, back to tonight. Again, I'm focusing on family. What would you say is a healthy attributes in a family? What is a healthy family? What does a healthy family look like? There's so many things that a healthy family needs. There's so many communication, trust. What else? Sacrifice. All these things are needed so that a family can be healthy. There needs to be boundaries in place for a healthy family. I want to look at love tonight, and you will see where I go with this. I read this scripture in the one time I was preaching, and while I was reading it up here, I really felt God saying that I need to just to touch on something here. And as I just started meditating on that, I just believe there's so much more that out of this scripture what God's got for us. It's John 13, verse 35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Friends, it's almost for me as, and I'm using Edenvale because that's where we are located now. It is almost as Edenvale is coming to a standstill and stopping to have a look the minute that this family start loving each other. The world out there is hitting the pause button and looking into our lives and seeing what is happening here. You know, so many times we think we need to run out there and we need to change everything out there. Friends, for me, this scripture says when we start loving each other in this house, the world out there is taking notice of what's happening in here. And I say this because I do realize the love that's out there is very different to the love that you and I have in this place. Maybe you are fresh from the world and you can talk about of experience, and you know exactly, all of us, that the love out there is conditional. It's based on terms and conditions. It's based on, okay, I need to do this, then I can get love. I need to bend over backwards. I need to roll over. I need to do this. I need to look this certain way. Then I will be loved. If I look at scripture, I see something completely different. Even this church, I had the privilege of speaking to people when they come to this church for the first time. Greet them and ask them, you know, why? What is different about New Day? What is different about this family? Two things that always comes up: the friendliness and the love. The friendliness and the love, because it's part of New Day's DNA. Finish and claw. That's who we are. It's part of our DNA. Again, that scripture, John 13:35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This love is going to draw people in because that's what they want. I have two girls, Cara and Amy, 10 and 7. When I got these two girls, I'm like, Lord, I'm this big rugby player. How on earth am I going to handle two little girls? It's impossible. It's not me. I need a sporty little boy. I don't need two little ballerinas. Until today, that's all they want to do is have... You can ask my wife. They just want to do shows. They want to stand and sing and dance. And I'm like, I just want someone to come watch rugby with me, to go play cricket with me. But when I got these two girls, as much love as I have for my wife, I thought that was enough. I was happy with that. And now all of a sudden there's this little baby. And I thought, where on earth am I going to get more love for this little thing at that stage? That just poops and cry and feed and that's all it does. But it's so amazing that it's almost like there's a new chamber in my heart that just opens up for this little one. And then all of a sudden there's another one. And it's just like there's another chamber opening up for this little one. I've got two guys in front of me that they're smiling. When you talk about babies, they smile because they are like in natural nappy mode already. You know, they've got this waxed. The baby's not even crying and they're already changing nappies. You can see them. They know what they're doing. Before it happens, Nick is in it. Exactly. I see in scripture where the Father express himself like this. It says in Matthew 3, verse 17. Behold, this is when Jesus got baptized. Behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Like I was saying, I've got this so much love for my two girls. And it doesn't matter what or how, I just love them so much. And when I read this scripture, when Jesus got baptized and he came out of the water, a voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son. I immediately get that picture of this relationship between a father and a son that love each other. And then I come to us as his kids. What about us? Isn't it clear in John 3:16, he says, I love you so much that I give my only son to die for you. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. Friends, Jesus is teaching us a brand new love here. I don't know about you, but I've never been asked to go sacrifice something. But I think if it gets to that point, I would start wondering, yes, like it. How devoted am I really to this cause? God says, I love each and every one of you so much that I will give my only son to die for you. That's a different love. That's a love that my human brain cannot understand. I can't fathom that. Maybe one day in eternity when I spend time with him, I would realize the fullness of this. But my body as it is here can't understand that type of love. The Greek word used this love as the word agape. I'm sure a lot of you have heard about this, and it's nothing new I'm sharing tonight. I believe God wants to do some heart surgery. And as I was worshiping, I really felt God is just want to shift one or two people's hearts. And if it's that for it tonight, then that is it. But I believe there's people here that's hearts just need to hear something that will come out. The word agape means this. The definition is this, and it's at the back. You can follow it with me. Agape is called out of one's heart by the preciousness of the object loved. It is a love of esteem, of evaluation. It is the noblest word for love in the Greek language. Agape is not kindled by the merit or worth of its object, but it originates in its own God-given nature. God is love. It delights in giving. And this one, friends, just have a look at this. This is mind-blowing. It says, this love keeps on loving even when the loved one is unresponsive, unkind, unlovable, and unworthy. It's unconditional love. I don't know about you, but that described me before I knew Christ. That described me. Even then, he loved me. That agape love. Agape desires only the good of the one loved. It is a consuming passion for the well-being of others. Consuming passion for the well-being of others. Friends, Jesus got the well-being for me and you. His heart is for me and you. This is a love that God has for every single one of us. He loved us while we were sinners and we didn't even want anything to do with him. He loved us then. That when we said that, I'm out there, I'm not even worrying about this, I'm doing my own thing. Even then, this agape love was there for me and for you. I don't know about you, but it just makes me so grateful. Even the first two songs we sang was all about God's love. And as we were singing that, I'm just grateful and I'm just reminded again of this big God sending his son to die for me on the cross. What did I ever do? Did I deserve it? Never in a million years. But he loved me so much that he died on that cross for me. Yes, friends, you know what? That's why we can so easily just get drift apart in our life and we can get lukewarm. We go through that. But I want to tell you, if you are just in that place where you can go back and you can just experience and just meditate again on that love that Jesus came to give on the cross for me and you, it'll bring us straight back to Him. It'll bring us straight back to Him. I would love to stop here. It's lekker. This is nice. This is, we're all feeling warm and God loves us and it's nice and we hear about, but I can't stop here. Because God is giving us instruction. And if you've got a Bible, you can go with me in Matthew 22. And I'm going to read from verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. One of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question to test Him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And He said to him, Jesus speaking here, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. The first thing that stands out there, Jesus saying, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I look at it immediately and I think, well, this is impossible. It's difficult. It really is difficult. But again, it's a price paid for me. So I can do this with all my heart. How do I do it with my heart? And this is where us guys close and we go, okay, you're going touchy-feely on me. Stop it. I don't like it. But when we open up our hearts, it's when we spend our quiet times with Him, open our lives before Him, surrendering and giving Him full control. It's opening up your heart, loving Him with your whole heart. Friends, and you don't do that just on a Sunday. You don't do that just on a Wednesday. Every morning when we have our quiet times, it's like you open up your front door of your house and you say, Holy Spirit, come in. Come and take control. This must be a non-negotiable. Opening up your door every morning for the Holy Spirit and say, it's my heart, it's your heart. Friends, but so many times, you know what? It is us sitting on the throne of our hearts. Having conversation with ourselves. Worshiping ourselves. Thinking of us and how I want to do it. But for me to love Him with my whole heart is to open up my heart and say, Lord, I step off of my throne. You come and sit on this throne. Lord, that cupboard in my life that I close up, it's open for You. My kitchen is open for You. My living room, it's open for You. My heart is open for You. Friends, and we do this every day. Every single day. It's not like a once-off thing. Every day we open up our hearts and say, Lord, come in. Come take full control and full reign of my life. Our soul, the second one. That's our emotions and our feelings. This is the tricky one. You know, we do live in Joburg. Taxis in Joburg is different to taxis in Cape Town. I don't know if you've experienced it. It's just, this place is completely different. So your emotions can run haywire with you just driving to work. That's it. And that's not, I'm talking 5 kilometers, not even to Randburg. You just drive from here around the block. And you already had your collar, like you take your, and you just want to, you just like, if I can climb out this car today. I would, friends, we got to learn which battles to fight. I read the book, I think Dudley wrote it, Choosing Your Battles. And it really changed my life. Even with my kids still today, there's certain battles I'm not going to worry. If a sock is on the floor, you know what, it's not the end of the world. Might be if I still look at it all the time, but it's not the end of the world. You know? The OCD in me like, pick that sock up, pick that sock up. But you know what? There's other battles that I would rather fight than silly little things. Friends, when you have your emotions intact, choose the battles to fight. There's certain things in your life. Don't fight those battles. Just surrender it. We need to learn the subtle art of stepping out of a situation, saying, Lord, strengthen and wisdom, and go back into it. It's an art, friends. It really is. You that are in the business world, sitting in meetings every day, and you've got people talking and talking and going at you. What's the first thing we want to do? We want to react immediately. Friends, we need to learn the subtle art to take time, ask for wisdom, and go back in. Let's do that. And then your mind. Renew your mind every day. Meditate on God's word. Now, we've heard it so many times. Meditate is not sitting, crossing your legs, flying in the air on a carpet. That's not meditating. Meditating is not emptying yourselves. It is actually getting to the point where you take this word and you read it and you read it and you read it till you understand it, but it mustn't stay there. It needs to drop in your heart and you need to live it out. That is how you renew your mind, friends. It's not just something stuck in here. Knowledge puffs up at the end of the day, the word says. But it needs to be something that drops in our heart. And it needs to change the way we do things. That is when this becomes alive through us. It's when we meditate on it. It's in our heart. It's here. But it drops in our heart. The Bible says what the heart is full of, the mouth overflows. I need to retranslate from Afrikaans to English here. Wat die hart van vol is, loop die mond oor. Exactly. Friends, but we cannot if this is not in here. I've always joked with my kids and with Laura and people I know. If I have a base of toothpaste and you squeeze it, what's going to come out? Tube of toothpaste. What is going to come out? Toothpaste. It's not rocket science because it's toothpaste in there. Friends, what is inside of you? When life squeezes you, what is coming out? What's the first word coming out of your mouth? And all of you go, oh, God. I know. Toothpaste. Yeah, what toothpaste. Well, it's because friends, but it's what we fill ourselves up with, eh? Our mind. The Bible says, love him with your heart, your soul, your mind. Love him with this, friends. Love him with this. We can't love him with this if we fill this with all the filth that the world is putting out there. I love movies. I love them. But you know what? I must make sure that I'm not stuck in the rut of it's things stuck in my head. Just friends, you know what? I don't know if I'm not going to sing a song now. Please, no. Don't even ask me. Vasen will come. But have you heard all these catchy tunes on the radio these days? No. But if you listen to it, there's always a funny sexual connotation to it. There's always this violence connected to it. But it gets stuck in your head and you sing it over and over and over. Friends, before you know it, it drops in your heart. It just drops in your heart. And you wonder why sometimes you get a bit aggressive. You wonder sometimes where you start looking things in the wrong direction. Let's make sure we meditate on this every single day. That this becomes not just head knowledge, but it drops in our heart. And it changes our lives that we love God with our heart, our souls, and our mind. He's calling us to a deeper relationship with him. Let's do this. Love the Lord, your God, with your heart, with your soul, and with your mind. But that verse carries on. The second thing. A second is like it. You shall love your neighbor. Now, this can be an interesting one. You see, it's easy to love people that you let into your life. That is very easy. I've got good friends. If I invite them over, I enjoy that. But what about the ones that just chooses to come sit next to you, chooses to buy a house next to you, and you're like, why do they buy this house next to my house? This is, you know, the colleague next to you. You didn't choose that colleague. He is just there. That is the people I'm talking about tonight. Not the ones that's easy to love. Like me. Everybody loves DJ. I'm easy to love. I'm easy. Friends, but you know what? There's other DJs out there that's not easy to love. There's friends out there. There's people out there. Don't tell me you love all your work colleagues, because then you must come repent right now. There's some people out there that just grinds you and just twists you and just works on your nerves. And when you walk in there and you see their face, it's like you want that punching bag image to just come up. And you just want to karate kick them. But you don't have that. I'm the only one that's got that. So that's fine. That's fine. Friends, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with that? And why I'm leaning towards this is we had prophecies. We had people saying, we heard Greg saying that this building is too small. What God has got in store for us is thousands of people. We had prayer meeting last night, and I was just reminded of Enzo's memorial. There was 1,200 people, Julius. 1,200 people. That place was packed. And I think we're looking at 2,000, 3,000 people. Yes, friends, that is a lot of people. A lot of new people coming into our space, sitting on our seats. How dare they do that? That's my seat. I've been sitting here for 5 years. They can't come and invade my space here. Friends, but I just believe God is going to bring new babies into this family that we need to love and nurture. New neighbors. What do you do with new neighbors? Three things you can do. Acknowledge them. Tonight was easy. A couple of people. On Sunday morning when you come, there'll be 500 people. That's a bit different. You'll probably land up sitting to someone you don't know. Acknowledge that person. Say, hey, how's it? This is who I am. Who are you? Even if it's out of your comfort zone. Do you know your neighbor that lives right next to you? Do you know them? If you went and just introduce yourself to them, say, hi, this is who I am. You don't have to make pie or anything like in the movies. Just go and greet them. The second one, don't judge them. How many times have we made mistake of judging a book by its cover? Hey, I mean, even when I walked up here, people already looked at this Rona guy go, I'm not so sure about this. We judge people by what we see. Friends, let's not judge. Let's throw that thing out the window immediately. Don't judge people. And the third thing is pray for them. I've seen how my life changes when I start praying for people that I didn't like. Honestly. How God just changed my life and just opened up my eyes to their situation to see what they're going through. And I'm just like, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. And all of a sudden, a lot of people that used to be my neighbor is now my friends because I let them into my family. And that's what's going to happen. Proverbs 13 verse 8 says, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another is fulfilled in the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and the other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Matthew 7 verse 12, the golden rule. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. What you want others to do to you, do that first to them. It's a golden rule. The Bible teaches us that. Do that. Friends, and I want to finish off with the last one. You see, that scripture doesn't end by love your neighbor. It ends with love your neighbor as yourself. And this is where I really believe God wants to just challenge people tonight. This is where I would rush to just get to this point. I don't want to go all psychologist on you. That's my wife's job, not mine. But the scripture says, you need to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, your image of yourself, if it's a negative, a distorted one, guess how you're going to look at your neighbor? Negative and distorted. The lenses you put on to look at yourself, it's the same lenses you use to look at your neighbor. It's the same lens. You can't change that. Brokenness, unforgiveness, hatred, jealousy, envy. Guess how you're going to see your neighbor? Exactly the same way. You've got to accept who you are. We have to accept who we are. We have to start loving ourselves. Agape love. Unconditional. Now, I'm not saying you have to walk past the mirror and blow yourself a kiss. You don't have to do that. You don't have to flex your muscles and go, yes, you're like a dung. You don't have to do that. I do it, but you don't have to do it. You know, all those lip marks on the mirror every morning. But friends, if you walk around with bitterness towards yourself, if you walk around with that hurt in your life of, yes, I'm not good enough. I look at myself and I hate myself. I look at myself and it everything is just broken. I see myself as this horrible person. Friends, that same lens that you look at yourself, you're going to look at others. Because that love that you've got here for yourself, that is the love you're going to give to others. I really believe God wants to deal with this tonight so we can sort this out, then it's very easy to love your neighbor. But if you don't love yourself, how many times have you heard from this pulpit, you can't give what you don't have? And that's exactly it. Friends, we are talking of love to give, love for people coming in. But the love you have for yourself is non-existent. Guess what? You can't give anything to anybody. You can't give if you don't have. If that cup is empty, friends, you can do what you want. Nothing's going to come out. But then you guys can come up for me. What does the Bible say about you? Galatians 3:26 says, "For in Christ Jesus you are sons of God." Matthew 5:13-14 says, "We are the salt and the light of the earth." Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." John 1:12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Genesis 1:27, "We are created in his image." That's what the Bible are saying over your life. What are you saying over your life? How are you looking at yourself this evening? Are you looking in the mirror and going, "Yes, like it, man. I don't like what I see. The situations, everything, I just hate what I see." You go to bed broken. You go to bed with all this hatred, with all these things in your life, and you just look at it and you go, "I really don't like what I see." Skillet is a band I absolutely love, and they got a song called Monster. And they talk exactly about this, about just walking in life, and then inside there's this monster. Yes, friends, I really feel God wants to get rid of that monster inside tonight. He wants to come and just set you free. That love that he poured out on the cross for me and for you is the love that he wants to consume your life, change your life, so that you can know you are bought with a price. Jesus Christ dying on the cross, he paid the full price so that you and I can walk in full freedom. Everything you and I holding on to, Jesus died on the cross for. That sin that's between me and him, it's gone. It's no more, because he died on the cross. He set me free. He loved me so much that he died on that cross. I know I had to settle a lot of things in my life. You know, we, as a young person, you go through life and yes, you just got such a low self-esteem, and yes, you don't think much of yourself. I thank God every day for an amazing wife that helps me. But I know if God didn't come and set me free, I would still walk in that. Because I know who I am in him. My position is in Christ. He has set me free. Today he loves me. That love I can give to anybody walking next to me. That love that's here, I can give to any neighbor, because I've got it here. It's here. I don't look at myself as a monster. I don't look at myself with hatred. I have to sort that out very quickly in my life, because I know when I wake up tomorrow morning, I might see someone that needs Christ a lot more than I do. But if I'm still trying to settle this out, I can't give on this side.